I know there have been pastors, you know, that told their churches, said, "Now I'm going to preach as long as you're sung," because, you know, they'd sing just on and on and on. We don't have that problem around here. And, you know, I'm begging everybody to sing another one. Even Brother Mike, I tell him, "Is that it with the choir, you know, after about four or five? I say, "Got another one? Got another? Surely you got another one." We're blessed with the wonderful singing here at the church, and I thank God for it. I don't ever make light of that work of praise that God speaks much about in His Word. Singing praises unto the Lord. That is part of our worship, part of our praise to our Lord when we sing unto Him. Amen. And you talk about a strength and a help. It is. I don't know how many times, and you could say the same, how many times you really got some help from the Lord from a song, from somebody that's singing a song, choir singing a song, and God uses these biblical hymns. Amen. It all tells us about Him. It all tells us about Him, and I bless Him for that. I appreciate good singing. What would you know? The church, it's not built upon it. But I agree with one pastor. What would it be without it? And everything's got its place. Everything's got its place in the house of God. Prayer, testifying, singing, teaching, preaching. It's all for the edification of the children of God, isn't it? And what we do all to His glory. Amen. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians this evening. And a little thought that God placed upon my heart for this evening's service, not 2 Thessalonians. I've got a scripture there I'm going to read. Go to the book of Jude, the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Somebody may say, "What chapter?" Yep. That's the one. Book of Jude. Jude was the brother of James, and Jude was a servant of Jesus Christ. He mentioned that in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. This man was blessed to be there in the days of our Lord. To think about that, to be the brother of the Apostle James, and that God allowed him, even though it's just one chapter, the strength, the wisdom, and especially the warning, but also promise that God gave to Jude is amazing. And I want to read one verse, and then we'll talk some about what you find in the book of Jude. verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Keeping us from falling, the promise that God has given to us through Jude, that God is able, regardless of the circumstances, to keep you and I from falling. Now this falling, there is a falling, a stumbling, but then there is a falling into sin, being marked by sin. And God promises us that he would present us faultless. That's the falling he's talking about. Keeping us without blemish. It's amazing that God has promised that he can keep you and I without blemish, that he's going to present us faultless. When you think about what the Lord did in our life, the work of salvation, we all know these bodies are not saved. We're waiting for the redemption of the body. Is that not scripture? We are waiting for the redemption of the body. The body to be redeemed. Right now it's not. But soul and spirit is. And it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. His seed is in us, John said in 1 John, so that we cannot sin. That is within you and I that's saved, it cannot sin. Now, if the Lord said that he's going to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory, if the Lord comes right now, he's going to present you and I to himself faultless. How can he do that? You say, I sin today. Well, any of us that say that we were without sin would lie, wouldn't we? I'm not. And there's a warning here in Jude about those that did fall in sin. And the reason I'm talking about this is there are so many today that are falling. There's a falling away that must come first. And he's not just talking about Christian people stumbling. He's talking about people, religious, falling into sin. That's the life that they had before, or worse. The fruit that will bear out in someone's life
I've been amazed and sorrowed at the people that I thought surely they have a genuine salvation, that it'll be with them till they leave here or the rapture. And then to see them completely turn from Christ altogether. That's scary for me. That's scary to me. When here in Jude, he's talking about, in verse 3, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation," he put a lot of diligence in making sure they understood what the salvation of Christ for a believer, what it really was, what it really meant to be saved, what it really meant to be in Christ and to be a new creature. He said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? He said, because for there are certain men crept in unawares. Crept in, where, down the road? No, right inside the churches sometimes. Sometimes, I mean, right among the believers. And he said, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Ungodly men, here's what he said about them. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, I've preached on this before. These men were not the Judaizers that the early church contended with. Those men that were, you know, preaching that they had to, you know, in order to be saved, they had to also keep the law. They had to be circumcised. They had to add these things. No, what they did is they swung around 180 and said, it's all paid for. It don't matter if you sin, if you live the way you always have. And they used the grace of God for lasciviousness, a license to sin. More or less what it was. You can go on living, I mean, just the way you always have been. You're saved. You're going to get to heaven anyway. See, there's a truth in Scripture that is so fantastic and so amazing that someone who is truly born again, nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's not a sin won, Brother Ronnie. But then there are those that are looking to use that wonderful grace as an excuse to live selfishly, sinfully. Saying doesn't matter. I mean, saying the exact same thing. Do you see where that hairline is? The difference is that one who is truly converted is not looking for reasons to sin. They're looking for reasons to be right. A saved person should be asking the question. I think I already mentioned it in a message here a couple of weeks ago. As I think Vance Havender had said, they're gone down the wrong road, people have. They're saying, what's wrong with this? And what's wrong with that? And they're partaking in it. They're just gobbling it up. When they should be saying, what can I do to be more like him? What can I do to be closer to Him? How can I be more holy as He is? That should be the question asked by those who are true believers. But see, we have these people, and it's just as sure these people, listen, God has warned us, you cannot live in lasciviousness. You cannot use the grace of our God for lasciviousness. And they denying the only Lord God. How'd they deny Him? I mean, they were saying they believed. Maybe they were denying Him His lordship in their life. He's not Lord in their life. Maybe they are denying Him in that His blood was not powerful enough to wash their sins away. Maybe they were denying Him in that they're saying His salvation is not powerful enough to make them a new creature. Maybe they denied Him in ways that we cannot understand, but they denied Him. The only Lord God. Now that speaks of His lordship. And it also speaks of His deity. And so He told them in verse 5, He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. That's important. Them that believed not. You know what I believe? There are times, Brother Jerry Lee, there are people that come to the altar and maybe with the intention at first of, getting saved, coming to the Lord. But by the time they get off their knees, they have already decided in their heart they are not going to serve the Lord like they know that the Bible asks. I know I did. Many times. I came under conviction. I mean, it's like being brought out of Egypt. But I didn't believe. I didn't believe. Because from when I got up, I had already had it in my mind that when I got out of there, from here I was probably going to that party tonight. And by the time I got up, told everybody thank God for saving me, and got back to my pew, I'd already decided I was definitely going to the party when I got out of there tonight. I say that to say, how many of those that were brought out, and it seemed at every turn, they were not satisfied with God. They were not satisfied with Moses. They were not satisfied with the pillar in the fire. They were not satisfied. They believed not. He said, another example. So He gives us the children of Israel that believed not, the angels which kept not their first estate. Now we're getting into situations that you and I cannot compare a sinner being saved unto salvation out of his dead sinful life. Now He's talking about a whole nother issue. Angels that were made to worship God in heaven left their first estate. What happened to them? They left their own habitation. He hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. Angels fail. Angels. Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities fell. And the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. There are many around us that are, it looked like they were brought out with the rest of us, but they've never been satisfied. They've always wanted Egypt. Or like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Example after example. Are you listening to me? That he gives. These that live the sinful life, the false teachers in verse 8, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. No righteousness, no holiness, no godliness, no blood and true salvation. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." The devil himself was an anointed cherub, wasn't he? Look at what he fell from. Into sin. Cities into sin, angels into sin, a people into sin. A high being, a heavenly being, as Michael, into sin. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast in those things. They corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Here's a son that fell in sin, murdered his brother. These are spots in your feast. Listen, these are people around us. Why? Why is he telling us about people that are all around us, people that are in and among believers? Because there's that worry that could come upon me and you, and it could cause us to stop in our tracks. When we see these all around us, going down, going down, going down. We should pray for these. I'm not saying that everybody that has been in the, looks like the ways of the Lord and then turns, never was saved. John might say something like that. He said, "They went out from us. They were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out." John might say something like that. Jude's making a strong case that many. Why? Because of the complete rejection of Christ and his way for sin and the world. There are spots in our feast of charity. Clouds are without water. Trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And he gives this prophecy of Enoch. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to commence all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people do not know Christ. They can't. They cannot. But they've been among us. Murmurs, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Well, I'll tell you what, that makes me stop and really consider people that are mocking just how far they've strayed away. I mean, for them to mock, what else have they done? He said those people, they were all mockers. They didn't, listen, it's not just mocking with a mouth. It's mocking with a hard look. It's mocking with the exercise of sin openly. They mock. I mean, we have now the LGBTQABCDEFG. Are you listening to me? And their lives openly. That's mocking. They're mocking. They're mocking God. They're mocking His Word. They're mocking those that would live godly. Openly, pervertedly, mockers. There should be mockers and walking after their own lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. That right there says it all. I mean, they don't. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. None of his. He said, but ye, beloved, he tells us what to do and how to live, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You realize what you believe and you build on that. Build on it. Don't change it. Build on it. Strengthen it. You know what the world wants us to do? They want us to weaken in belief. And there are those that are following suit. We've got big, big so-called churches, auditoriums, religious places. They welcome in as members. They marry them. They let them speak. Build up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. It does not excuse you and I that we should, listen, we should be trying to reach out and pull some of them out of the fire. Not just, that's what they want, let them go. Now there are some that are, they're headed in that direction and there's no stopping them. But if we could save some. And God promises us in the midst, listen, of a general, listen, that kind of stuff will affect us. Our mind, our prayer life, our, you know, desire to want to stand up straight and be a light in this world, our strength in our belief, our worship of our God, all these things, it will affect that. Why? To put fear in you and I. I hope I make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. If you're saved, God's going to keep you faultless. He's going to keep you from falling. The Bible said that in the 2 Thessalonians, there come a falling away first before that day comes. But God is going to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. The psalmist David said in Psalm 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Isn't it good to know that even though your life as a believer, even though you may be headed, looks like for a fall, God will not let you be utterly cast down. He is able to keep you from falling. He will hold you with His hand. Right there in the context of that, He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The verse after it says, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The psalmist adding promise after promise that God is not only going to keep us from falling, God will order our steps. God will provide the way. God's going to help you and me. Amen. We're His children. Listen, He has not abandoned us here to walk alone. No, no. We do not walk alone. Christ is with us. We are here together as believers. Listen, it's important to have strength and unity. It's important that you and I be joined in unity together. Psalm 145. Verse 14, he said, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. That's his people. That's His children. He upholdeth us. Amen. What a blessing to know. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from being scarred by sin. Keep you from falling. Not just stumbling. To keep you faultless. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation. You and I are kept. What it means to be in Christ, to be preserved, He called us preserved, kept from falling. So go to the Word, get it out of your mind. I've even said it. I've said it with other preachers. Sometimes, it's almost like a worry. You see other preachers falling and you think, God, it could happen to anybody. It could happen to anybody. I can say honestly, I know I'm saved. God have mercy that I ever fall. If I do, according to God's word, God will kill me. He'll take me out of here. He's not going to let me go on as a child of God and live like this, like Sodom, like the angels that sinned, like the false teachers that go on and on and on. I mean, no, not God's people. There's possibility God's people could get theirself in a mess. Why? Because this, I said it at the beginning, this flesh is not redeemed. Who wants to live that life? To whom shall we go? Peter said. I mean, where are you going to go? Why would a man or a woman spend their whole life telling others of Christ and what God said in His Word and how great that it is and wonder and how much help that you can find in God and the Holy Spirit and in prayer? And then why would you just toss that aside like it was a fairy tale book? Why would anybody do that? It's beyond my comprehension. How did they get that low? That's what I want. How did somebody get so low? How did somebody get to that place? And it's between them and God, whether they're truly saved or not. It'll show out in their life. Listen, God chastises them that are His. And without chastisement, this is Scripture, without chastisement whereof all are partakers. He said, then you're bastards and not sons. If I was to walk away from this church, God forbid, and start living open sin, living like all this that we find in Jude, and nothing happened to me, you might as well mark it down. I didn't know Him. I put on a good show. But I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know Christ saved me. And I know there ain't no way He'd let me live like that. There ain't no way He'd let me live like that. I hope and pray nothing like that, God forbid, ever happens. Ever. Christ has been too good to us. His mercy and His grace, how He's helped us and washed us and blessed us. Why would I ever want to do anything to hurt His testimony, to hurt His name? I don't want to hurt His name. I want to stand to the end. Amen. I want to stand to the end. I want to be standing when He comes. I want Him to find faith when He comes to the earth. Don't you? I don't want to be ashamed before Him at His appearing. And according to the promise of Jude, He's going to present us faultless before the presence of the Lord. For the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jude gave us these examples in throughout Scripture. Listen, the Bible gives us these warnings to one thing it does, it keeps our doctrine straight. It lets us know. Yeah, I know Christ washed our sin away, and I know that there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And I know He'll present us faultless. But that don't mean you and I have a right. I mean, Paul even said that in Romans 6. What shall we say? That shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Well, that's what Jude was saying, and saying it while he was screaming, if you want to read it that way. These, he called them, these. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. These people, these that were prophesied of, these that God warned us of, these that the Lord said would happen before he come. Lord have mercy. I'm glad we have a Savior. What kind of Savior would a Savior be? Listen now, I say this reverently, that couldn't truly save us. You know what it means to be saved? Delivered. It means kept from danger. Kept from danger. He's already, listen, we're as good as sitting in heavenly places already. When he saved us, saved our soul, saved our spirit, and has promised to redeem our bodies, that you and I, he would keep us by his power. That's salvation. That's salvation. I mean, saved for as long as eternal life. Saved as long as you live and past this world. Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done. I don't want to just ramble.